Well, good morning. Well, my name is Brand. If I haven't met you yet, I'd love to meet you at some point during the service or after the service. But children are excused to go to children's service. And I just got to say, I'm really excited to be here. This has been an incredible week for me. I have gotten to go all over the valley and see different ministries near and far. And through the time that I have here, I'd love to visit more. So if you have a ministry and you have something going on in the church, please talk to me and invite me. I'd love to be a part. I'd love to encourage. I'm a teen guy. I love being a part of ministry near and far and reaching people outside the church. And I think that that's what we're called to. And so I just want to encourage you. I want to thank you. This has kind of been a challenging week. It's the first week that I haven't had my family with me. And I started thinking about what this would look like and what it would be that we would do for a time and going through it. And I came up with the sermon title of Strength for the Struggle. Strength for the Struggle. Because it's not against flesh and blood that we battle against. It's the principalities over everything that is coming against us. And the armor of God is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. And it tells us that daily that we should be standing, we should be putting on this armor that God gives us. It's not our own, that it's His, that He gives us the equipment so that we can stand firm, knowing that anything that comes against us, He's fighting for us. So I want to encourage you guys as we come, as if you would, it's my hope that as we get into this, that we can stand for the opening reading of Scripture. So if you would, if you're capable, please stand with me. We're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, and we'll do the first four verses. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, it says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Would you pray with me? Father God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be in this place. I'm grateful to be with your people. And God, as we open this time and look to you and look to Scripture of what it calls for us, God, we just ask that you fill this room. God, that you empower us, that you encourage us, that you give us your strength and your power to do what it is that you are calling us to do. We thank you, Father, for this day, for this time. Bless it to us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Strength for the struggle. When I was at Sac State, I was an athlete. I loved playing sports, and I got connected late in my time there with the rugby team. And I know maybe you guys have not familiar with the game of rugby. I wasn't either. But I walked on and I had played football and I was really fast. And so they put me on the team. They allowed me to play and I figured it out as I went. Well, rugby is a unique game because you play as two different teams. You have forwards and you have the backs, the people who play behind the forwards, but the backs are the fast guys who run the ball, and the forwards are the ones who cover up and help you and encourage you and shield you from getting stomped on by the other team. So I was a back, and I would work, and I would play, and I was really fast, so they put me out on the wings, and I got to run the ball, but I learned very quickly that I was faster than the forwards, and if I outran the pack, the forwards who were following me, I got stomped. And so I was only as fast as the fastest forward because I had to run with them and they had to support me as we went. So if I got tackled, the forwards would come and they cover the ruck. The ruck is when I get tackled, I turn, I present the ball back to my team, and the forwards come and they shelter me. They covered me. They encased me so that I couldn't get taken over by the enemy, the other team that was trying to steal the ball away. So it was very important. It was this necessary thing that I needed to run with support. I couldn't run by myself, even though I could outrun those guys. If I got out alone and I was tackled, the other team would take the ball away because my forwards weren't there to protect me. So it became this idea that as we run, as we go, as we come across the things that are going to face us, that the things that are going to challenge us, the things that we are going to be with, we need to have our team that's covering us. And that's what God gives us with the armor of God. He says in the very first, well, as he comes into this, the very first word of this passage that we read is finally, finally. And Paul is kind of wrapping up this theme of what's happening. So if we look back on what's happened in the previous chapters, Paul is writing in Philippians chapter 5, to encourage, and he says, finally, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. And he gives three illustrations of the ways in which Christ is illustrated in family structure, in husbands and wives, in parents and children, and slaves and masters, or maybe a little bit more apropos for today, employers and employees. Okay? And he does that in such a way that in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, he has a discourse on husbands and wives and how husbands should treat their wives and how wives should treat their husband. And he points to Christ being the ultimate family therapist, the ultimate marriage counselor, because he's at the whole of everything. And if he's central in that relationship, then husbands and wives are going to thrive. Because it's not about their own individual desires. It's about the desires of the one who's going to lead them and secure them and take them to the place that they're going to be. It's the only relationship in all the Bible that's depicted as Christ being the husband of the church and husbands to their wives. Right after that, it goes into families' structures. It talks about parents to their children and children to their parents. It shows Christ as the ultimate family therapist who knows how to lead and knows how to instruct and knows how to encourage our children and how the children should be respectful back to their parents. And it shows that structure. And Paul demonstrates that and looks at that in Ephesians chapter 6, 1 and 4. And then finally, the last one is masters to slaves. Maybe today, like I said, it would be more apropos to say that this is employers to employees. Because when we come into a circumstance that we're working for somebody, we're not doing it because it's what we think we need to do. It's because what our employers are paying us to do. In that same way, Paul likens that relationship to a way that masters need to be fair with their slaves, or employers need to be fair to their employees. And employees need to be honoring to their employer. That they need to do what's being asked of them to do, not because of some guilt or because they're being paid, but because they want to honor the relationship that they have as Christ being the central in that thing. And so it shows that Christ is the ultimate CEO in that. That he knows how an employer is supposed to treat his employee and vice versa. And he wraps all of this up and he comes to this place where he says, finally, finally. Our first point today is our strength comes from the Lord. It's not our own. Our strength comes from the Lord. It's not our own. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, not ours, but his. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, it says, be on the alert, stand firm in faith, act like men, be strong. I love that. There's an encouragement for us that we can go out and we can do things because it's not by our own power that we get things done. We go out according to his purpose and his power with his authority. And we are able to do and accomplish because it's not by our gifting. It's not by our strength. It's not by our courage. It's not by the things that we do. It's by his. And he gives us the measure that we need in order to stand and do what it is that he's calling us to do. It's by his power, not our own. Joshua is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Joshua was the contemporary that followed after Moses. And after Moses is leading the people in the desert for 40 years and they're wandering around and just repeating this cycle for 40 years, I can't imagine what that would be like. Joshua is finally the man who's going to lead the people into the land that God has promised. He's going to deliver this promise to the people, and the people are actually going to see the inheritance that they've been promised for generations beforehand. And this is what it says in Joshua 1, verses 6 through 9. It says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may also have success wherever you go." It says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will be able to make your way prosperous, and you will have success." But then this verse, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That's one of those things that we can claim that we have purpose, that everywhere that we go, if we go in the name of the Lord, he goes with us. And we can be courageous and we can be strong because it's not by our banner that we fight. It's by his. And he's not going to lead us somewhere and just abandon us. He's going to go with us and allow us the courage and the strength to stand where it is that he's calling us to go. That's pretty exciting. That's pretty awesome. I love that. Another story in the Bible is a man called Gideon. How many of you guys are familiar with the story of Gideon? Gideon is one of my favorite stories because Gideon starts off as a coward. It says that he was hiding in the wine presses. And a couple of years ago, I got the opportunity to go into Israel, and I saw the threshing floor. And the threshing floor, when they used to thresh grain, they would go up to the highest points of the Judean mountains because it's very windy there. And so they'd beat the grain against the floor, and then they would throw it in the air, and the air would separate, the wind would separate the chaff from the grain. The grain would fall back to the floor and the chaff would blow away. And so when they were threshing, they would be up at the topmost parts of the Judean mountains. But it says that Gideon went down to the wine presses, which was down in the valley where the lowest parts would go, because they had these great big stones that they would use to press the grapes and turn it later into wine. And so it says that he was hiding from the Midianite army. He wasn't up on the high plains where everybody else would be. He was down in the valley underneath the wine presses, underneath the places, and that's where he was threshing the grain. And so it says that he was kind of cowardly, that he wasn't really where he should have been, that he was hiding out. And the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and he says, "Oh, Gideon, mighty man of valor." I love that because God doesn't call us by what we were. He calls us by what he will make us become. I want to say that again. He doesn't call us by what we were. He calls us by what it is that we will become through him. He looks at Gideon. He sees the cowardly man who's hiding out. And he doesn't call him a coward. He doesn't call him fearful. He doesn't call him anything. He looks at him and he says, "Oh, Gideon, mighty man of valor." And he purposes him to become a judge for all of Israel. I love the story, but it continues, and he goes out and he calls the nations and all the families, and he says that he has 32,000 people come to him. And God looks at the army and he says, "That's way too much. That's way too much." He says, "Turn to him and tell him that anybody who is fearful and doesn't want to fight, let him go home." It says 22,000 men left. 10 stayed behind. 22,000, I mean, your number just got cut a third. And Gideon is leading this army. And God looks at the 10,000 men and he says, "That's still too much." He says, "Have them go down by the river and get a drink. And then I want you to separate out the two people. The people who cup their hands and bring it to their mouth," he says, "drink like dogs." I don't really get that part. "Or the people who bury their face in the water." So it looks like this. The people who bury their faces drinking water, which I've never do that. I don't know about you. "Or the people who cup their hands and bring the water to their face." That's definitely where I would fall. And he takes their number from 10,000 down to 300. And he says, "That's the army that I want you to go up against the Midianites with." Now, prior to this, it defines the Midianite army as being more than the grains of sand. That they're just huge. They're vast. They could be 100,000. They could be 1,000,000. I don't know. It never says exactly how much. But it was a vast army. Gideon goes in and he sneaks in and he overhears a dream, and they're talking about how Gideon is this great man of valor. Again, God lifting up Gideon and showing him that he is who God will make him to be versus who he is in general. And then he leads this battle with 300 men, and they go up and they smash their jars and they hold up their torches and they say, "For Gideon and for God," and the Midianites kill themselves. God takes a victory with 300 men to show that it's not by Gideon's strength, that it's by God's strength, that he will do what it is that he says that they're going to do. He always does. He always does. And we can claim that. We can hold on to that. We can be encouraged by that, that God is going to give us the strength to do what it is that he calls us to do, what he purposes us to do, because it's not by our strength. It's by his. It says, our strength comes from the Lord. It's not ours. Number two, our strength or our defense is the armor of God. It's not our own. Our strength is the armor of God. It's not our own. Let's think for a minute. Imagine with me that you come up across a fire and it's blazing and it's getting ready to devour a neighborhood. So you call the fire department, you get on the phone, you call 911, you say, "Hey, send over the cavalry. There's a fire, it's out of control, need to take care of it." A couple minutes roll by and a car pulls in, just an average car, a normal car. And a guy in shorts and a t-shirt jumps out. And he goes around to his trunk, he opens up his trunk and he grabs two water bottles and he starts poking holes into it and starts to go into the fire. That's absurd. That would never happen. When the firefighter comes, they come with their equipment, they come with their respirator, they come with their helmet, they come with their jacket, they come with a hose, they come with the armor necessary to do the task that they've been called to do. In the same way, we need to do the same. We need to armor up. We need to put on the armor that God gives to us. We don't go and do things under our own power, under our own might, not dressed for battle. We go with the battle and the armor that is given to us by God. Now, when Paul is writing this, he's writing this chained probably to a Roman centurion. And so Paul is likening the armor of God to the very armor that he is looking at with the guy that he is chained to, because he's a prisoner at this time. This is one of Paul's prison epistles. He was arrested and being tried and being taken to Rome in order for Caesar to try him and ultimately put him to death. And he knows where he's headed. He knows what's happening. He knows what's going on. And his life is being chained to the centurion. And so he's likening everything, but he's taking the generalistic part of their armor and attributing godly forces to it. When I look at this verse, it says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. That's an interesting verse. It says that we need to be ready so that we can stand against the schemes of the one who's coming against us. When I think of the word scheme, I'm thinking of like Wile E. Coyote and his Acme catalog. You know, he's trying to catch the Roadrunner, and so he has this catalog that's full of these crazy devices, and he always orders something, and it never works like it's supposed to. I would return it and get my money back, but it never shows that. But the word scheme, literally, is this Greek word, methodia. It's the word that we get our English word, methods, from. If we interchange that verse and we look at it with that in mind, it says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the methods of the devil. Guys, I want to be clear with you. Satan has had thousands and thousands of years to perfect his craft, and he has methods to come against you. He has methods to come against me. I appreciate, Tim, thank you very much for lifting me and my family up and encouraging us and praying for us. Pray for us, please, because we have a huge target on our back. Satan does not want us to do what we are being called to do, and he doesn't want you to do it either. Truthfully, there's only two places that we can be. Either we are geared up and ready for what it is that God has us for, or we're sitting on the sidelines. There's only two. There's no in between. There's no lukewarm in this scenario. It's either we're ready, we're geared up, we're ready to stand firm, or we are sitting on the sidelines. And what that looks like is everything is copacetic. Everything is good. Nothing comes against us because Satan has you exactly where he wants you. You're distracted. You're not on purpose. You're not going where he has for you to go, or where God has for you to go. You're doing what he wants you to do. You're looking at it. You're hiding your face. You're not paying attention to what's going around. But when you're on purpose and when you're on point and when you're doing what God has for you to do, the enemy doesn't like it very much. And he looks to buffet you. And it says that he has methods. He's not scheming with these devices that aren't going to work. He's going to use real things to come against you. And if you're not prepared, you'll be taken down. I don't want to be somber in this. I want you to know that there's victory in this, because we don't fight under our own laurels. We fight under his. And he says, I will never send you somewhere that I'm not going to go with you. And if somebody comes against you, I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to be your barrier. Nothing's going to come against you because you're more than a conqueror. That's something we can claim. That's something we can hold on to. Ephesians chapter 4 also uses that same methodia word. It says this, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men or the craftiness of deceitful schemings or methods. We're not meant to be tossed to and fro. we're meant to stand firm. And we can experience that and acknowledge that and know that because God is going to stand with us. The Bible explicitly says that if God is for us, then there's nothing that can stand against us. I want to claim that this morning. I want you to claim that this morning. I want you to acknowledge that as you stand with purpose and power in the mighty name of God, that there is nothing, nothing, nothing that can separate you from that. It says our third. So not only our strength comes from the Lord, it's not our own. Our defense is the armor of God. It's not ours. And our battle is spiritual, not physical. We're not battling against other people. We're not battling against our neighbors, against our wives, against our children. We're not battling against all of these things. The battle is happening overhead. And it's happening over you. Satan is fighting for you and possession of your soul. And God won't let him. But we can't turn our eyes and we can't divert our face and we can't pretend like it's not happening because it is happening. It's happening whether we realize it or not. And we need to be ready. All of us together. We are so much stronger when we are together as one unit, as one church, as one body. And I'm not just talking about the Scott Valley Berean Church. I'm talking about all churches in the valley. Standing together, one little case Catholic church, universal church, one power of the Spirit of God working in us, through us, for us, for His purpose and His glory. And we get to be a part of that. We stand together. We're encouraged together. We encourage each other. We lift each other up. When one of us is weak, the rest are made strong. We help each other. We carry each other. We encourage each other. And if we find somebody isn't doing what they're supposed to do, we need to be courageous enough to go and tell them and talk to them. Not to judge them and point fingers, but to bring them back to where they need to be. It says, verse 12, it says, "For the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, remember, every time that we see therefore, we need to look why it's there. And we go back and we look at this entire premise and passage again, acknowledging that Paul is saying, imitate God. Seek after Him. Seek Him first, and all these things will be added onto you, Jesus says. It's not by our power, it's by His. It's not by our strength, it's by His. It's not our armor, it's His. It's not, our battle is not against the physical, but the spiritual realm. Check out this in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, if you're unfamiliar, is the best chapter in all of the Bible. Romans chapter 7 will beat you up. It'll tear you down. It will show you how lost and depraved you are. But the 8th chapter turns the page, and he says, yeah, but in all these things, in all these things. Listen to this. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 and 39, it says, "But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Amen. That's something that we can hold tightly to. There is nothing that can come against us to separate us from where God has us. But we don't go into the fight dressed in a tank top and gym shorts. we go with the full armor that God gives to us. And over the coming weeks, we're going to look at each one of those pieces of the armor that God has and look at what it means for us and why it is that it's so important for us to daily wake up and take these things on ourselves. Because Paul says, and then and only then will you be able to stand firm. It doesn't say take on the army by yourself. The Israelites did that. When they had this amazing victory as they came into Jericho, they marched around the city for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they marched around the walls 7 times and they blew their trumpets and the walls came down. And the victory wasn't theirs, it was God's. But yet they were so excited at what just happened, they take off and they go to Ai. And they try and do it under their power, under their will, under their might, and they are smacked down. Because it wasn't God's plan, it was theirs. We're not called to go and charge the fight, we're called to stand and wait. Wait for what it is that God's going to do. He will lead us. When the people were in the desert and they wandered for 40 years, it said that God used a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. And pillar of fire, he led them by night. And pillar of cloud, he led them by day. And whenever that would move, the Israelites packed up camp and they moved with it. God led them to where it is that he wanted them to go, just as he will lead us. It's not by our power, it's by his. It's not our armor, it's his. We don't battle against the physical, we battle against the spiritual, and it's happening all the time. We can't hide it from our face. We can't hide our faces from it. One of my favorite authors is this guy named Bob Goff. He's an amazing guy. I've had the opportunity throughout the years to hear him several times. I got to meet him once and shake his hand. He writes these books like Love Does and Everything Always, and they're incredibly uplifting books to read. And if you ever have an opportunity, read one. They're great. And at the end of every one of his books, he puts his personal phone number, which is crazy. It's crazy. But if you call that number, you know who picks up? It's not Bob Goff's answering service, it's Bob Goff. And he will talk to you, and he will pray for you, and he will uplift you and encourage you, because that's what God has put on his heart, to uplift the church, to uplift people, to fan into flame that which they're going through, no matter what it looks like. Guys, we need to be encouraging to each other. I'm so tired of people pointing out people's flaws and saying that, man, they need to change this. It's not about them. It's about us. What does God need to change in us? What is God going to do in us? What is he trying to remove from us that makes us more like his son, that makes us more powerful than we ever could be by ourselves? Because God is for us, not against us. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're going through these crazy things and you have this buffet of things that are just coming against you. I say, armor up. Come talk to one of the elders. Come talk to myself. Let us pray for you. Let us stand in the gap with you. Let us encourage you. Let us carry you if need be. We are better together than we are apart. Nobody should be siloed. Nobody needs to be functioning on their own. Nobody needs to be trying to figure this out on your own. Come together. Be encouraged. Join a small group. That's the best idea yet. Sunday is great. Come on Sunday. Please come on Sunday. I'd be very lonely here by myself. But also, find something else during the week that you can find encouragement, that you can plug into a ministry, that you can plug into a small group, that you can be prayed for, that you can be uplifted, that you can be encouraged, so that when the time comes, you're ready to stand. That's what it's all about. But listen to this quote by Bob Goff. It says, decide in advance that you will do whatever it takes to get your heart right, and then do it, even if it will kill all previous versions of you. You'll need to ask yourself what makes the heart beat in ways that make you stronger, more courageous, more giving, more loving. Figure out what makes your heart skip a beat with joy and what makes your heart miss a beat with dysfunction and distraction. Hear me on this. Satan doesn't look to destroy you. If he destroys you, it's one and done. Satan looks to distract you. He looks to keep your eyes off of the focus that God has called you to. If he can distract you, it lasts a lifetime. Because you're worried about the things that are happening over here and your eyes are down versus over here, your eyes being lifted up to what it is that God has purposed you to do. He doesn't want you to live according to your call. He wants to distract you. He wants to turn your eyes away. He wants to take you in a direction that he can use you for his purposes, to mislead people. But if you armor up and you stand firm, God will use you for his purpose. He will do what he calls you to do. And it's not by your power, it's by his. It's not by our strength, it's by his. It's not our armor, it's his. We're not fighting against each other. The war is fighting against and over us. And we need to be ready. With every good thing, Satan comes against it. For me and my family, this is a good thing. We are so honored to be called to be your pastor. And I don't take it lightly. I really don't. I'm honored to be here. But Satan is coming against us. Because he doesn't want it. And he doesn't want you guys to do what it is that you're called to either. So stand firm. Armor up. Don't do it under your power, but do it under his. Don't do it under your strength. Do it under his. Don't do it for your name's sake. Do it for his. When I pray, you'll hear me say often, I say it all the time, not for my glory, but yours. Not my will, but your will. Jesus led that prayer. And I think that we need to lead with it too. Amen? Amen. Would you pray with me? Father God, I'm so grateful for this time. I'm so honored and so privileged to be here with these people, God. And I just ask that as you call this church, as you call us as one body to do what it is that you have for us to do, to go to the places that you would have for us to go, to be the church that you want us to be, I ask, Father, that you ready us, that you encourage us, that you help us with your armor, and give us the tools necessary to accomplish that which you place on our hearts. God, I lift up the elder team. I lift up the leadership. I lift up the small groups and the ministries of this church. And I ask, Father, for your protection and for your guidance and just your benevolence to befall upon them. That, God, you protect them with your hedge of protection that's wrapped on all sides. That when we come in contact with people who don't know you, they don't see us and ministries of the Scott Valley Berean Church, but they see you because we want to reflect your light and your honor and your glory everywhere we go. Lord, I ask for your guidance. I ask for your direction. I ask for your power and your might to befall upon each of us today as we stand and fight firm what it is that you have called us and placed us to do. God, use us for your purpose. Use us for your direction. Bless us as we go. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray.